Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Junk Refund Show, which I am broadcasting to you live right now, right across the street from the I-66 transfer station in Fairfax, Virginia, which thank God is open on Juneteenth for people like me that are looking to continue to do business on this day. The Montgomery County, Maryland dump is closed today because of the holiday, and that's just fine. The Virginia dump is open. That's going to help me out today, so I appreciate them being open. And across the street from them, there's a 7-Eleven, which I just went in and grabbed a big Diet Dr. Pepper and a cup of watermelon. And then I just pulled across the street into the Costco parking lot, where I am parked in the back, technically on a spot here outside the Car Care Center. There's a little triangular section that has a bunch of yellow lines running through it. So technically, I'm not supposed to be in this particular spot, but it's right behind the building. It's in the shade, and that was my thought coming here to just park so we can do this show. Hats off to Doug Newsom, our producer, and his twin brother, Don, both in looks and in voice. Those guys are, and in professionalism, they're just really good guys, who founded the BBS Radio TV network. You can listen to the show live on bbsradio.com. So this is the Junk Refund Show, named after our company, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. The reason we are named that is that we can do a refund for stuff. When we come and you pay us to haul away your stuff, and then we do four things with it. We junk the junk. We recycle stuff like metal and wire. We donate items and get you donation receipts, and we put up for sale the good stuff that we think somebody might buy, and if they buy it, then you get a percentage of that sale back, and that's how you get the refund. So we're always talking about refunds that we've given back, fun things that we've done, and it's just kind of a joy to talk about all things junk removal. I think we're probably, with this network in our second year doing the show, we were on the CBS radio network for a year, a number of years ago. So technically, this is the longest running junk removal radio show in the country, probably in the world, but let's just say in the country as far as I know. And we intend to keep it that way and just keep going. So I want to welcome one of our new sponsors called It Takes Heart, H-A-R-T. Out of Atlanta, Georgia, which is the brainchild of a friend of mine named Tina Hart, who I actually talked about on this radio show a year ago, February, right around Valentine's Day. I don't know what episode it was, but if you go look up somewhere around February 15th or 13th, 14th, somewhere in there of 2024, I'll tell you a little bit about Tina Hart down in Atlanta, Georgia. I have gotten to know her since then. She has a great idea, spelled after her last name, H-A-R-T, where she is very involved in community affairs and wants to be even more involved. She's adopted. She has a passion for helping people who have been adopted. She's had a few tragedies in her life where she's lost some close friends of hers, family members that she has a passion for. She's a great interior decorator, and she knows quite a bit about the travel industry. And her zest for life is to go for your dreams and make them happen. This girl could also write a book called How to Maintain Your Ideal Body Weight Throughout Your Life, because she has done that, and her diet is one of the factors in that. Anyway, she's just got a lot on the ball, and because of our friendship, I told her I would help her get this started, and I started a Facebook page for her called It Takes Heart. And then I've just been looking the last few weeks for positive, feel-good stories about how to accomplish your goals in life and how to put your heart into something and go for it. One of those has to do with New York Yankees shortstop Derek Jeter, who spoke recently as a commencement speaker, I think at the University of Michigan, which I think is his alma mater. But he spoke at the University of Michigan about his life and some of the things that he's learned. One of the points that he made is that you just keep trying even when things go bad. In his first year as the shortstop for the New York Yankees, which is what he always wanted to do growing up as a great, talented baseball player, he committed 56 errors in his first year. Now, he makes the point in his commencement speech that that's hard to do even if you're trying to do it. It's rather difficult to do if you're not trying to do it. 56 errors in his first year. Now, that didn't stop him. See, he makes the point that you need to make sure that road bumps, speed bumps, road bumps in your life don't become roadblocks. And that's a great point. I've never heard anybody say that before. So if you want to listen to a great commencement speech by a great man and a great father and a great husband, great ball player, Google on YouTube, Google Derek Jeter commencement speech, and you'll hear some of the things that I just told you. I will also tell you that a few years ago, he and his family did a commercial for, I'm going to say Jeep Grand Cherokee, but it might be the Cadillac big Grand Cherokee kind of vehicle. I can't remember for sure. But that commercial depicting what it was like for him when he flew home or needed to catch a flight to go someplace. That didn't work. He had to drive, so he drove in the rain. He makes it home. That commercial, in my opinion, is the finest commercial on television. And I'm putting in a plug for that because I just think he and his family did such a great job with that commercial that they deserve some kudos for how well that was done. So here's a couple of stories from the latest things that we've been involved in. When I was 4 years old, my grandfather, who was an educator, high school principal up in Syracuse, Utah, it's also where my dad was raised, and I'm named after my dad and my grandfather. He was a farmer as well as an educator, and he had a large John Deere tractor. The ones with the big rear wheels and the small front wheels, the dual wheels in the front, that was his tractor that he used to run his farm in Syracuse. So somebody had the great idea to take a picture of me sitting on my grandpa's lap as a four-year-old while he is sitting on the John Deere tractor. And it's a classic photo. I wrote a book once that's published on Amazon that has that picture of us on the tractor on the cover of the book, which is kind of cool. And it's called How Great Shall Be My Joy. And it's that's the photo that we're talking about. So anyway, about a month ago, a realtor called us and said, hey, can you clean out a garage for one of my clients? We said, sure. One of the things that was in the garage was a John Deere riding lawnmower that had been sitting in this garage for 20 years. And it looks like it's in pretty decent shape, but it's been sitting for 20 years. One of the things we do on this show is we try to teach you how to get the junk not only out of your living room and your garage, but also out of your life. One of the ways to get some junk out of your life is to take on a little restoration project of some kind, and I decided to do that with this John Deere mower. Now, I lived in a high-rise apartment complex for a number of years. I don't have a lawn to mow, but I took this mower and stuck it in my storage unit with the idea of, it's always just sounded kind of fun to me to restore and work on riding lawnmowers, because they're easier than cars. They're fun to ride around on. And I've just kind of been fascinated by it. And I've had situations in my life in the last 20 years where I've hauled away quite a few of these. Some of them have been in terrific shape and I sold them for $1,800. Others have been in horrible shape and I took them to the scrap metal yard and dumped them off and got maybe $30 or $40 for it. So there's lots of different things to do with these things, but this one, because it was in pretty good shape and because it's been sitting for 20 years and it cost me nothing, they actually paid me to take it. Here, I'm going to roll up my window so you can't hear that horn that's going off in the Costco parking lot, maybe. There we go. Drown that out a little bit. I just decided to take this baby home, put it in the storage unit, and then go to work on it. So what I have had the most fun in the last week or so, I purchased a new battery for it. I purchased a new fuel filter for it, and I installed that last night. I purchased some oil, a couple of quarts of oil, to put in the engine. I need to change the oil, and I purchased a new air filter for it. So in the process of just doing this, I'm obviously learning a few things about riding lawnmowers. And I'm just having a blast. At the end of the workday, I go over to my storage unit. I pull out a folding beach chair that I have there, and I just sit down and I play with this tractor and try and improve it. Now, after I change the oil, I'm going to turn the key and see if this sucker fires up with its new battery and everything, and see if the thing runs. But whatever it is that is just kind of a fun little hobby for yourself, find your John Deere Restore the Tractor lawnmower in your life and go and do it. And you'll find a lot of joy in doing so. And the idea is that ideally every day, but I don't make it over there every day because I'm busy doing a bunch of stuff. But ideally, you just take a few moments every day. You go spend, you know, half an hour working on a little project. And, you know, at the end of the week, you've spent 3 hours working on your project. And at the end of a month, you spent 12 hours or so. And that time adds up, and ideally, pretty soon, you've got a riding lawnmower that works and works well. And that's what's kind of exciting about it for me, is just the idea of a mower that's been restored. I can't wait to see if I can get this thing running after 20 years of sitting, shine it up. I've washed it off. I took it down and did a hand wash of it at a car wash, and I was so proud of myself to just wash all the crap off of this and try and make it look a little better. And I'm just really having fun with this little hobby, and it's a blast. So there's a little tip for what one of the things that makes life great is picking up a little hobby of some kind, something that means something to you, and have some fun with it. And in the back of my mind, I've of course got my grandpa's farm in the back of my mind, and I just like the idea of having a John Deere tractor in my life. And once I get it running, then I'm going to be going, okay, I need some grass to mow, right? But we'll take care of that as we go along. So I know we started the show a couple minutes late because I was finding my parking spot, but I'm going to kind of stick to my regular time frame of taking a break when I take a break. I'm going to take a break here for about a minute. We'll be back to you on the Junk Refund Show. We're going to teach you how to avoid Craigslist scams. I'm your host, Alan Cook. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. We'll be back to you in about 1 minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. recycle stuff like metal and wire, donate items and get you receipts, and put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show on the BBS Radio TV network. You can listen live to the show at bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you live from the Costco parking lot across the street from the I-66, that's Interstate 66, transfer station in Fairfax, Virginia, where right in front of me, I'm here in the backside of Costco where the Auto Care Center is, and there's a gentleman right in front of me. I'm kind of parked like the shape of a T. He's the top of the T. I'm the vertical part of the T. He's right in front of me. He just bought a battery inside this place, and he's now installing it. And I don't think he can hear me, even though my windows are down and I'm in the shade, because he hasn't ever looked over at me since I've been here. He's too busy just doing his battery. But gray-haired man here changing his battery. Good for him. I listed some stuff for sale on Craigslist recently. It was a baby grand piano for about $2,500. Let me tell you one of the typical Craigslist scams that happens in case you're listing stuff for sale, both on Craigslist and it probably also applies to Facebook Marketplace, but particularly on Craigslist. If you list an expensive item on there, which maybe is $500 on up, a lot of times people will contact you and tell you right off the bat that they would like to buy it. And then they might ask you like a general type question that kind of says something like, you know, is there anything wrong with it? And you'll go back and say, no, the piano sounds fine. It sounds good. And then they jump right in and say, okay, I would like to buy it. Can I send you a cashier's check? That's the dead giveaway that you're talking to somebody who's a scammer. Because what they're going to do is send you a fake cashier's check. You're going to go to your bank. You're going to cash it. The bank information from your account is going to get put on the back of the check. It's then going to get returned back to the people that sent it to you. And then about 3 days later, your bank's going to contact you and tell you that the money order was fraudulent and that you need to redeposit, you know, et cetera. They will go in and take back the money that they had before. I think that's how these scammers work and why they want cashier's checks. But they say that they will send you a cashier's check. So first of all, it's an expensive item. That's step one. Number two, they will call you and tell you fairly quickly right off the bat that they want to buy it without ever checking it out personally. Number three, they want to pay you with a cashier's check, not by Venmo, not with a credit card, whatever, but it's always a cashier's check. Number four, they're always out of town, either out of the country, out of town on business. Or this last one was I'm a nurse and I'm out of town, so I'm going to have a moving company come and pick it up once you cash the check. Okay, so they're not going to come and pick it up themselves. They're going to have a moving company do it, and then they're going to make some kind of comment about how smooth the communication has been so far, and they'll ask you for an address of where do I send the check, right? Oh, and there's always the excuse of why they're doing it. This last one was, my niece said she wanted a piano for her birthday, so I'm going to get her this one. Now, seriously, folks, when's the last time your niece or nephew told you they wanted a $2,500 piano for their birthday and you went right out and bought one sight unseen? See, I always try to make it look like I'm doing a nice thing for somebody in my family. It's a gift, and I'm really excited to buy yours, right? I had the last time, this was only about a week ago that I ran this ad, I had within 24 hours three different people approach me with this same format. So I'm buying it as a gift for somebody. I don't need to check it out. I want to pay you with a cashier's check, blah, blah, blah. So be aware of those five or six things that typically happen if you're trying to sell an expensive item online. That's one way to tell for sure that you're involved in a scam. I told these two people, the first two, I just said, you're a scammer, repent, period. That was the last comment that I made. And then the third one, I just said, why do you want to buy a piano that you've never checked out first? And I never got a response back. So anyway, that's just kind of the way it goes. Be aware of that if you're trying to sell some of your stuff on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. Those are some tips that will teach you how to avoid getting scammed. This last weekend, I was supposed to go to Guatemala and visit three of our church temples down there. I go around as a hobby, not as a full-time thing, but just as a hobby. I like to go visit the temples of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is a church I'm a member of, because we have like 207 of these things around the world. And I've been to all of them in the United States and Canada. So I'm starting to go abroad. My goal was quite simple in January 2017. Because these buildings are the most sacred, special, godlike places that we have in our church, we're always encouraged by our church leaders to go there because it brings you closer to God, right? And it does. And I set a goal in January 2017 to go to the temple twice a month and ideally make it different temples. I'm only about 10 or 15 minutes away from our Washington, D.C. temple, which is a magnificent one. But I like the challenge of visiting these different temples around the country and around the world because they're not all the same. They're customized to the local area that they're in, and they're designed different. The interiors are different. The motifs in the temples are different. But the stuff that happens in the temple and the feeling that you get is the same, and it's wonderful. So it's a good place to go to kind of get uplifted spiritually, so to speak. Well, I was supposed to be in Guatemala this last weekend because a couple of months ago, Frontier Airlines came out with an email and said, hey, we've got a special deal where you can fly for $35 from Atlanta to Guatemala City. And I went, fabulous, because I can fly on Frontier using their Go Wild Pass from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta for $15. So 15 plus 35 is $50. So I have a $50 airfare going to Guatemala City, and then I just go zip, zip, zip and visit three temples down there, and then I turn around and fly back. It's going to be more to fly back, but boy, to get to Guatemala City for $50 is my kind of deal. So I had those tickets purchased, and then the Washington, D.C. Singles Conference for people 31 and older was planned for this last weekend, and I knew that it was planned for this weekend. And because I'm a single guy, I thought, you know what, that'd be a good conference to go to. I've never gone to any of these singles conferences before. And a bunch of people, 500 people in this case, registered and showed up for this event, and it was a fabulous event. The first night, Friday night, was a go have fun at National Harbor in Maryland, just across the Potomac River from Virginia, from Alexandria, Virginia. And we went down there, and not long after it was supposed to start, a bad rainstorm came through. So they quickly got the word out. Just as I was arriving, people were leaving this area, and they told me, no, we're going over to one of our chapels in Alexandria. Here's the name of it. Here's the address. So I said, okay. So I went back in the parking lot, got in the car, and drove, you know, 15 minutes to go over to this chapel. In this chapel, they're now going to do and this is plan B for the night, right? They're going to do a dance. They have a guy there named Brian who is a really good dancer, and he's going to lead the dance and give instruction. And you probably got 100 to 150 people over in this place at a dance. So I go, okay, that's cool. So I go walking into the dance, and the first thing I do when I walk in, obviously we're all kind of setting up for it because none of us were planning to be there at this time. And so I grab a couple of folding chairs, and I walk over by this metal curtain, and I set them up. And there's a young lady over there who had just also arrived. And so I unfolded one of the chairs, and I just turned to her, and I said, hey, here's a chair if you'd like. Well, she was very appreciative, and she thought that was great. Throughout the night, I just noticed that that young lady was maybe the youngest person in this room. These people, these single people, are going to go from age 31 to like 80, right? And she is probably in the low 30s, I would guess. So she is there. She's by herself. And yet throughout the night, she's dancing with these older folks, having a good time, enjoying herself. And she just really looked like she was having a great time. The next night, I saw her at our gala event at the Bible Museum, which is a fabulous museum in Washington, D.C., and I went up and complimented her on just how cool I thought she was the night before, when she's obviously in a setting of not all the people that are in their 30s, and she's there by herself, and yet she still had a good time, and it's like she owned the event, even though it was not customized for ideally what she would prefer. And I just complimented her on how cool I thought that was, that she can have a good time even when the environment around you is not conducive to what you would normally prefer, and when you're by yourself. And I told her that in my book, that's really a great example of self-esteem. I just think that's a great example of self-esteem. And I was quite impressed with it. So I told her the next night how impressed I was, and that I thought what she was doing was fabulous, and I just thought it was great. So hats off to the people who planned this conference. They even had an app called Whova, W-H-O-V-A, and I don't know if that's an Who app customized for Virginia people. I don't think so. I think it's a W-H-O-V-A app, and they used that to send messages out and to communicate to hundreds of the attendees. And I thought it was just great. They really were terrific in what they did, and I was quite impressed and just thought it was fabulous. So hats off to the people that planned the Washington, D.C. Singles Conference for the great job that they did. I met a lot of people there. I had a lot of fun. It was the first conference I've been to, but I can tell you, sometimes in life, people will complain, and this is kind of in the side of the equation about how to get some of the junk out of your life. People will complain they don't have enough friends, or they wish they had more friends. Well, I'm here to tell you, as an extrovert, that the way you get friends is to go up and say hi to people. They're not going to come up to you by and large. You're going to be waiting a long time for friends if you are waiting for them to come to you. But if you go up to them and just say, hi, I'm Alan, how are you? That's all you got to say, and then you got things going. And that's a good way to do it, and it's a good way to make some friends quickly. Here's another idea for you. This is more of a personal note, something I started doing recently that I haven't done in years. I decided, you know, as you're out riding around in a truck like I am, and you're going from one person's house and then to the dump and then another house and back to the dump and then another house and then to the scrap metal yard, you know, you pick up your food along the way while you're out there. Well, I went into a 7-Eleven recently. I spent $4, and I bought a toothbrush with a little tube of toothpaste in it, and I stuck it in my truck. And I just decided to try this idea of, you know, try to keep your teeth a little cleaner and brush your teeth after whatever mobile meal you just had. And so I started to do that, and I got to tell you, I'm kind of proud of myself. I always have some kind of a cup in my truck that I can spit the toothpaste out into. I usually have a bottle of water with me so I can wash the brush off and wash my mouth out. And I'm just kind of proud of myself that I'm giving my teeth a little more attention than they've gotten in the prior few decades. And had I been doing this earlier on, you know, I would probably have better results, right? But it's never too late to start a good habit. And I've had some fun with this one. And I'm enjoying it, and frankly, I'm kind of proud of what I've done. It only cost me $4. Now, those of you, in fact, I'm going to invite you. If you have cats, if you love cats, and you just want to tell me a quick story about an experience you had with your cat or how much you love your cat, call the show right now, 888-627-6008, and tell me your story. Because I am not a big cat lover. I'm the guy that hauls the furniture out from people's homes, and I see all the scratching and the damage that they do on the bottom of a couch. And I get the cat hair on me from stuff I haul away. And I see the parts where they chew away at you know, various things. And I just see all this cat stuff, and I end up with cat hair on me. And then I got to get it off. And thank heavens I'm not allergic to cats. But we cleaned out a condominium one time for a veterinarian that had 42 live cats in this condominium. And she was moving from Maryland to Pennsylvania to get a property where these cats had more room. And we would literally go into this place and pull books off of a shelf, and some cat from behind the books would jump out and scream at us and fly by our heads on their way to the floor. So I have not been a big fan of cats, but if you are, I would love to hear from you and have you educate me a little bit on your story. Call 888-627-6008 and give me a good cat story, because we have been cleaning out a house in Accokeek, Maryland, which is south of Washington, D.C., about 30 minutes. And we've been cleaning the house out, cleaning the garage out. And the last couple of times I go down there, I take a pickup truck down there, I fill it up with stuff, and then I run back. And I go, you know, two or three times a week to just keep getting this done. We're almost done with the job. But each time I go down there, there's this little black and white cat that has no collar on that starts meowing and pops out from behind the garage and immediately comes up to my legs and starts rubbing itself up against my legs. So recently, a couple of trips ago, I stopped at a grocery store down in Accokeek, spent the whopping $2.60 to buy four cans of cat food. And I went over, and sure enough, not long after I got there, here comes this little meowing cat from around the corner. And I went, man, am I ready for you? And I opened up one of those cans of cat food and put it down on the driveway. And oh my gosh, was that cat in heaven. And I'm starting to believe that this cat is astray and is on its own and could use some food. Well, I've now gone down there three times. I have opened up a can of cat food each time. And by the time the cat finishes the cat food, basically scraping it out of the can, I have loaded up the pickup truck again, and I take off. I also take some water with me. I give him a little bit of water and a can of cat food, and I'm telling you, it's like clockwork. The moment I show up, so does the cat, and everybody wins. And that little cat, I think, is starving for food. And so I'm kind of doing what I can to help him out. And I think he or she, I don't know if it's a he or a she, we're calling him a he. I think he really appreciates it. But I'm starting to see a little bit why people get so attached to their cats. I mean, a lot of people refer to them as their kids or their family or whatever. I refer to them as those, you know, animals that tear up furniture, because that's what I see, and keep shedding their hair. But this little guy has started to change my opinion a little bit, because I genuinely look forward when I go to Accokeek not only to getting more junk hauled away, but I look forward to seeing this little black and white cat with these emerald green eyes who loves to dig into the latest can of cat food that I drop off and literally cleans the whole thing out. So I feel good about what I'm doing in the cat world as of the last week or so, helping one little cat get a little more food, and it's really kind of fun to do. So I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back for the last segment of the show. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on the BBS Radio Network. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you live from the Costco parking lot across the street from the I-66 transfer station in Fairfax, Virginia, which is where I'm going to go to empty my truck as soon as I'm done with this wonderful radio show in about 20 minutes. We'll take a break. We'll be back here in about a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show, where we teach you how to declutter your life and your house or apartment or condo or trailer or storage unit, etc., or your raw land, to get some of the junk out of your life, simplify your life, and make it better. One of the things that sets us apart, and the reason the word refund is in our name, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, is that we learned early on that not all junk is junk. And a good example of that happened 3 or 4 weeks ago, where we cleaned out a home. A lady is going through a divorce, a lady who's been married for quite a few years, and is going through a divorce later in life. And her husband, bless his heart, kept Sports Illustrated magazines, Golf Digest magazines, like from as far back as for like the last 30 years, 35 years, and put them in plastic storage bins. We're talking 12 bins of magazines. And some of these magazines look like they haven't even been touched. So that's part of the stuff we hauled away. And the lady looked at us and said, I think these might be worth something. You might be able to sell them a little bit. Well, we kind of went through and kind of quickly sorted them out, took some pictures, put them up on Facebook Marketplace, and asked $1,000 for them. Now, if somebody wanted to go through these and try to find the gems, I looked on eBay, and there are some Sports Illustrated magazines, you know, with Michael Jordan on the front cover for the first time and stuff when he was at the University of North Carolina. You can look at these, and they will sell for $150 for one magazine. So technically, anybody who wanted to take the time and go through these issue by issue and has an eBay account or an Amazon account could probably get their money back for doing this. But we put it on there for $1,000. Nobody even asked about them. We dropped the price to $500. Nobody asked about them. We dropped the price to $250. Nobody asked about them. We dropped the price to $200, started to get some interest, finally sold them for just the Sports Illustrated magazines for $150. So the lady that had us haul away this stuff gets 35% of that, which is going to be somewhere around $50 or $60, something like that. And she does no work. We do all the work. And some guy out there ends up with a whole bunch of, and this, there are 1,200 magazines in this collection. So he's walking off with about 700 or 800 Sports Illustrated magazines for $150. He's paying about 25 cents a magazine, something like that, maybe even less than that, 20 cents a magazine. So that's a good deal for him. It gets it out of our storage unit. We packed it. He came over to the storage unit. We packed him up in some boxes that he brought because the lady wanted her bins back. And then we threw away the Golf Digest magazines because nobody was interested in those. But it just is an example of kind of what you can do that the other junk removal businesses probably would have gone through those magazines. The drivers would have pulled out the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition and kept those for themselves and maybe a few others for themselves and then thrown the rest away. Who knows? Our company, we try to do a better job. And so we found a buyer for it. It turns out when the guy came over to my storage unit, he looked at me, he goes, hey, I've bought stuff from you before. I didn't recognize him except very, very vaguely. I couldn't remember where. He went back on his records and found out that he bought something from me in 2015. And that's a good memory, man. I was impressed. So here he is, a return customer 10 years later, buying something else. And I just thought that was pretty cool. We cleaned out a storage unit for some people about a month ago who used to own a little dress shop, a clothing, a boutique, and they had kind of upscale clothes and stuff in there, and they would display these clothes on female mannequins that basically have from the head to the waist. And she had nine of those. We put those up for sale. We sold five of them. We looked up on eBay for what similar mannequins were selling for. We priced them, and they're selling for about $20 to $30 a piece. So even some mannequins that you pick up, you can sell and make everybody money. And I think that's a great thing as well. So there's a couple of quick examples of some of the stuff we've sold recently. We'll always keep you updated on what we're doing with recent sales and give you some examples, and then you can frankly go in and do the same thing yourself with stuff that you have that you'd like to turn into cash. Now, I commented in here, the next thing I want to talk about, we got about 12, 13 minutes left. I want to talk about the No Kings political movement that is out there. I have lived in Washington, D.C. for 36 years. I've seen at least nine administrations come and go. I've seen all kinds of presidents come and go. And I've seen all kinds of demonstrations take place in the nation's capital about all kinds of various things. This No Kings thing has got me a little baffled. If you are listening to the show and you have attended one of those rallies recently, call the show right now and explain this to me. 888-627-6008. I have seen demonstrations going on Connecticut Avenue, on Wisconsin Avenue, on Rockville Pike, on 16th Street Northwest in the Washington, D.C. area. And to be honest with you, I'm a little baffled by this one.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
What is junk reform?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. Bear with me just a second. Junk reform. No. You're cool. I do a radio show every week. I'm doing that right now, and I'm live. But that's cool. I'm gonna answer your question. Junk reform. A gentleman just came out of Costco and asked me about this sign on my truck that says junk reform. Hauling and junk removal business, where we haul away the stuff you pay us to haul it away. We do four things with it. We junk the junk. We recycle stuff like metal and wire. We donate stuff and get you donation receipts. The refund thing is we put up the good stuff we put up for sale. If it sells, you get some of that money back.
Thanks for letting me know.
1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Look it up. You. Give me a call. Thanks for saying hi.
Absolutely.
You were just on the radio to 49 countries.
I love it. But you don't take mattresses, right?
Yes, we do take mattresses. Yes.
Take mattresses.
Everything except hazardous waste stuff. Gas and paint, we stay away from. Everything else is fair game.
How much do you charge to pick up the mattresses?
Minimum charge is usually $100.
Okay.
Depends on how many you have. You can put four or five mattresses in this pickup truck. These are $229 for a full pickup truck. If you contact me, just let me know, hey, I'm the guy that, you know, saw in the Costco parking lot. I'll send you a link that allows you to get it for much cheaper.
Thank you.
Okay?
Appreciate it.
We'll help you out.
Thank you very much.
No problem. So there you go, folks. It pays to advertise on the side of your truck. He was happy. So we'll probably hear from him, too. He's got some mattresses to get rid of. Anyway, if you've been involved in a No Kings rally recently, call me at 888-627-6008 and tell me about it. I want to hear from you, and I want to get your side of the story. This one, frankly, has got me a little baffled. And that's why I want to hear from some people who can fill me in a little bit on what this is all about. I got a call 3 or 4 days ago from a realtor friend of ours who said, we've got a house listed for sale. Somebody dumped 40 tires in the guy's driveway off on the side of his driveway. And he's since moved to another place, and so the house is vacant. He's got all these tires there. We're trying to show the house for sale, and we got this big, ugly pile of tires off the side of his driveway in his trees right in the front of the yard. Can you help us? Well, yes, we can help you. But tires are an interesting breed. Because of environmental concerns, you can't just go into a local landfill and drop off a bunch of tires. because that creates a problem for them on what do we do with them and how do we dispose of them. In Montgomery County, Maryland, they will let county residents go into the dump, and you can drop off for free. You can drop off 5 tires per year. That's it. They take your license plate down, your license, driver's license info, and you're limited to 5 in a year, and that's it. The realtors told me they had 40 that had been dumped, and so I went over there a couple of days ago, and I gave them a price for 40 tires. Now, get this. When there are tire shops around who will let you take the tires over to them, but you have to pay them per tire to drop them off. If it's just the tire with no rim, it's $4. If it's got a rim on there, it's $8 to $10. So I figured with 40 tires, I've hauled tires around before, 40 tires is going to basically take 2 pickup trucks to get that done. We charge $395 for that much, and I gave these folks a little discount. So I said $350 to haul them away, but I got to charge you $10 a tire to get rid of them because, A, I don't know for sure that I'm going to be able to get rid of them, and, B, they're going to charge me to get rid of them anywhere from $4 to $10 a tire. So if you got 40 tires, that's another $400. So $400 plus $350 is $750. The realtor calls me back later that day and says, okay, that's a go. We're fine with that. Here's the address. I go over to the address, and I load 26 tires into my truck, and I'm going, I haven't even put a dent in this pile. So I then pull out the rest of the tires. I'm wearing short pants. I'm in pricker bushes and trees on the side of this guy's driveway. Some of these tires rolled back 10 feet into the bushes. None of them had rims on them. I'm pulling them out, and I start stacking them 6 high. Now, this is job 4 of the day. I had been out during the day prior to that and loaded the pickup truck up 3 times and emptied it 3 times. This was the 4th job of the day. I've now loaded, and I'm working by myself, I've now loaded 26 tires into the truck, strapped them down as best as I can, and I then pull the rest out and start stacking them 6 high. I end up with 15 piles, 6 high, and 1 pile is 7 high. 6 times 15 is 90, plus 1 is 91. I have 91 more tires, plus 26. That's 117. It's now going to take me 5 trips in the truck to get rid of them, not 2. That's going to run about $750. And $10 a tire for 117 tires is almost $1,200. So this job went from a $750 job to a $1,900 job instantly. So I sent that information back to the realtor with pictures, showing them the tires all piled up so they can count them if they want, so that they know that I'm not making up numbers. And they contact, and I have to, and I've got my first load ready to go, but as soon as I unload them the next morning, I've got to pay money. So I need to get some money. I need to get a payment for this job. In the meantime, the realtor, who's really cool, says, I will contact the homeowners, explain what happened. We'll get back to you in the morning. Okay. She gets back to me with the Discover credit card for the homeowner. I run the card for $1,900, and I went, fabulous. This is awesome. So I have now, for the last couple of days, and then the question is, where do I get rid of these? The last couple of days, I found a place in Manassas, Virginia, which is about an hour away from where the tires are piled up, that will buy the tires for less than $8 a tire. So that works out. It's a little bit of a drive, but all things considered, it's worth doing. So the last couple of days, I have been putting as many tires as I can in the back of my truck, strapping them all down, and driving those suckers an hour west to Manassas, Virginia, to get rid of them. And thank heavens they were open today on the holiday, which allowed me to get rid of another load of tires, plus get on to doing some other work today that I can do. So right now in Fairfax, Virginia, we have a torrential downpour that has, with lightning, that has just blown into the area. And a couple of minutes from now, I'll end this show. I'll go across the street in drizzling rain, a torrent, actually, and empty this truck and then go back to Washington, D.C. to do the final truckload of stuff for the day. And that is working out just fine. Everything's going well. I'll close with one last story. And this is a realistic thing today. I used to keep my appointments in an iPad, an older version iPad, with a beaten up cover on it. And then I have an iPhone. I think I have the iPhone 15 right now, a Pro or something like that. I started to keep my appointments in the phone. Well, I made the mistake after doing some church stuff last night that took me long into the morning. After doing that, I made the mistake of not checking my phone before I went to bed to see what my schedule was for today. It turns out I was supposed to be at a guy's place in Northwest Washington at 9 o'clock. I woke up at about 10:20 because he called me asking me what time I would be there, because I was supposed to be there at 9. And not only was I supposed to be there at 9, I was supposed to do two trips and turn around and do the second trip at about 10:30 and be done by noon. This guy's already paid for me to come and do this. Well, lo and behold, my truck is outside full of tires. I've got to drive an hour to get rid of them. Hopefully the tire place will be open. If they are, then I can empty them, turn around, go back to D.C. and maybe get there by 1:30. Well, this guy has a lot of class. He understood. I apologized. I didn't realize the mistake I had made. I came to Manassas. I emptied the truck. I turned around. I went back to D.C. I pulled up. We loaded up the first load for him, which is what's in my truck right now. And I'm about to go dump it in the rain over in Virginia. And then I'll go back to his place, to his garage, get the second load, and then we'll get him done, which is basically his goal was to get that done today. It'll just get done a few hours later than normal. But I compliment this guy for his patience and his nerves. He's very calm. He understood. He's a forgiving guy. He didn't chew me out. He didn't call me names. You know, I'm there to help him. He even helped load the first truckload. And my hat's off to this wonderful guy for his patience. We should all be a little more patient and a little more understanding, like my friend in D.C., who, as soon as I get this show done and then get over and unload this truck, it's back to D.C. in the rain, finish that job off. And even when you screw up, which is exactly what I did this morning, it can still turn out okay. Just do your best, apologize, and then go try and get the job done. And the bottom line is, when he goes to sleep tonight, his garage will be just as cleaned out as if I had gotten there at 9 in the morning, and he's not going to care that I got there at 1:30 instead of 9 in the morning. The point is, the job still got done. So in life, just get the job done. Even if you screw up, don't let that stop you. Just keep going. Do your best. And life will work out. That's my message for today. Thanks for listening to the show. It's been great having listened to the Junk Refund Show. We'll be back next Thursday, 3 o'clock Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network. Thanks to Doug Newsom as our producer, doing a great job, and for his brother Don. And we will talk to you next week. Have a great week getting the junk out of your homes and also out of your lives. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.